Hello and welcome to the Heartland Here Spurs Fans Podcast, a podcast from a bunch of youths to all you youths around the world. And yet again, it is me doing the intro. Lee, I don't know what he's doing this week. I mean, he's wrestling one week, going on tour the other week. He's probably lost on tour somewhere else doing a rave or something like that. I've got no idea.
Do you know what? To be fair to him, it's wrestling related again. He's obviously
fucking really. Has he still got a job yet?
I don't know. It won't be long before he leaves us and goes into the wrestling world. You'll see him on WWE getting put through a table, I think.
What he does is he writes
for a wrestling magazine. So like a really popular magazine over here, and it's all like the indie stuff. So he's sort of living out his dream by writing an interview and wrestlers and all sorts. So some Sundays are a bit busy for him, but yeah, he's doing something he likes and he's passionate about. So fair play to him. But
we
might replace him.
Kev, I could see Lee wrestling at Millfield Theatre. You know when they do them dodgy little dummy like wrestling events?
And ones in the bingo hall and all that.
Yeah, I could see Lee being a wrestler in one of them soon.
Hey, just the thought of watching Lee come out in them in trunks. I don't know if I could do it, mate. I think that's not something you want to take your kids to go and see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was bad enough when he stag do with all that. But listen, if you're wondering what we're doing here, there was no Spurs didn't play at the weekend. A lot of other teams did. And then the table fluctuated and changed. We had FA Cup semis and Coventry nearly shot United over there. But yeah, listen, we've had a week off. But given we've got the big one on Sunday, and obviously it is Sunday still because they got knocked out of the Champions League, which was lovely. We've decided, and this is something that Kev's kind of brought to the table. We've had, and you've probably seen it if you've been following us on the socials, we've had a really nostalgic week, and the focus has been nostalgia, whether that be, you know, past memories, your favourite pubs, your favourite experiences, your first game, the last game you went to. And we've really kind of hounded the socials with this. And so what we've done is we decided to come on here in our build-up to the North London Derby. And Kev's decided that we want to review some nostalgic stories from back in the day. And we've actually got three really good guests. And these are three really diehard Spurs fans. Some you've probably seen before, some you've never heard of. And these are people that we've come across and we've met through our own time of going down the lane. But what I'll do from here is I'll let Kev take the lead on this because I feel like this is something that's really close to your heart, Kev, and what something you wanted to bring to the table because, you know, I know you're massively passionate about the nostalgia surrounding Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, nice one, TJ. Yeah, listen, it's an episode that I've always wanted to do. Obviously, just finding the time to do it, obviously, when we're in the middle of like a hectic season or whatnot. So it's nice to have a week off, but then it would be nice to obviously like put our feet up and have a week off. But no, I thought it was a great time to get in there and talk about how we sort of become Spurs, what's made us passionate about it growing up as kids and then going into adult life with it. Obviously, the people we meet, because obviously it's for me and for us, especially like the closer circle, it ain't just about the football results. It's also about what you build around the football, which is, you know, solidarity with mates. Mates who are with us, who ain't with us anymore. Mates that we can now call family that we've met through Spurs. You know, it's such a small world when everyone gets to know each other and you've all got that one link, and that's Tottenham Hotspur. So, yeah, like T just said, if you've seen on the socials, you know, I've been pumping it full of memories and our own experiences of meeting people through it, having our away trips, creating many memories and many stories. But but also, yeah, our childhoods were great supporting Spurs. And yeah, each guest we've got coming on has got a different link to Spurs back in the day. Got a lot to talk about in terms of what they were like growing up in a different era that we grew up in. So I just thought it'd be interesting for everyone who listens to this podcast just to see why some of us are over passionate about it and why going down there at 10 o'clock in the morning when we have a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday is so important. Because you get to see people that you haven't seen for a long time and you get to catch up. And, you know, like I said, it ain't just about the football. It's about building relationships with people. So, yeah, we've got some great guests on. So, yeah, I can't wait to get into it, boys, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and I probably should say we've also got Matt here. Stevenage Matt, as he's known now, because Matt was all sacked in. Stevenage Matt. How you getting on with Stevenage Matt?
It's second, mate, in the front, mate.
Can't hear you, mate. You're too far away from the phone. Underwater.
Sorry, boys. I'm finished second in the Prem now, mate. So we're on big things.
Second in the Prem? We're in Champions League next year.
Is it Stephen Fry? What's Stephen managing? He's just got sacked. So they've just approached me. I've tweeted them my CV now. What I've done at Stevenage. So I've got an interview next week.
Fantastic. Keep us updated, mate. I know, like we said before, the TikTok gets massive following on the back of your Championship manager. But listen, let's get into it. I mean, Kev's already said it, everything that we need to know. But our first guest coming on, Kev, I'll let you introduce him. He's obviously someone that you know very well. And we'll listen to his story.
So, yes, we are now welcomed by a legend who, through my childhood, who was a good friend of my old man's and now has now become one of my good mates and a man that I can call family. People will know him down at Spurs as Big Russ. I know him as Lushy. The kids know him as Uncle Blue Eyes. A legend of our fan base. And when you see him down there, walking down the high road, everyone will know who he is. And that's Russ. How you doing, Russ? All right, mate?
All right, boys. You all right?
How's things?
Not bad, mate. Not bad.
First of all, Russ, how was Turkey?
Yeah, I had my tits done. They come out well, you know.
How was it over there? Was you...
I had a reduction.
Eh?
I had a reduction.
how what was it
over there? Hopefully you're not talking your knob, mate.
No, my tits, nah.
How hot was it over there, Russ?
Oh, it's about 30. It rained yesterday coming home, but it was like, I think up to about 30. And that ain't bad for April, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Teej, Russ has gone Antalya. He went Antalya, where you've been and where I'm going next month.
Yeah, lovely. Like, I always say, Russ, like for what it costs, the amount you've got to travel time-wise and the weather and the food and the people, you can't beat Turkey, guys.
No, beautiful, lovely over there. Yeah, yeah.
It's so nice, really, like, as a holiday destination. I love it over there. We go all the time.
100%, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not staying far away from you, am I, Russ? Where you stay?
No, I went to a place called Sidhe.
Yeah, it's nice.
Lovely. It was, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, all inclusive. Effortless to go over there. Like, went from Stansted, got a private transfer from the airport. Straight to the hotel and the same again coming home. It was beautiful. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, they're all night flights, aren't they?
No, mine was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, was it? Oh, it wasn't too bad then.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, you don't look like you've got much of a tan. Did you fucking stay in?
Clothes on.
I had the factor 50 on, mate, didn't I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fucking put on top of your bonds, yeah?
Yeah, mate, all over. I look like a ghost walking about.
So Russ, yeah, what I was saying to the boys and what I've been saying to the listeners is we've got three guests on today, and obviously you're number one of them. And the reason we're doing this episode is basically just to talk about a bit of the Spurs, a bit of nostalgia growing up. Obviously, you're a bit older than us, so you saw a bit more than what we did sort of growing up in the 70s and 80s with Spurs. So, yeah, you know, we're just sort of focusing on this week on like nostalgia with Spurs, of obviously the people you meet through the club, the friends and family you make in the boozers outside of the stadium, and not just the football. It's the camaraderie of all of us, and obviously people like me and you, how close we've got over the years, and you know, sort of regarding each other's family and stuff like that. And it's all one factor in that Spurs. So yeah, this is just a chat, you know, really about your times at Spurs, growing up at Tottenham, and obviously what you can talk about when you're being in your early 20s, mucking around with me, old man, getting up to no good down there. So yeah, just tell us, Russ, like, where did it all start, sort of supporting Spurs? How did it all come about?
Well, as you know, I'm a Tottenham bud. I was born in Tottenham. Well, I was born in Hackney, but raised in Tottenham, brought up over near Bulwark Farm, like a little estate called Moira Close. Yeah, that's basically I met your family. Like, my mum used to work with your nan, didn't she? Like, doing the home help and all that. And then I met your dad at an early age. Like, he used to live over on the farm in Stapleford. And, yeah, then my dad took me down to Leighton Orient before he ever took me to Tottenham. I used to go to Leighton Orient and that. And then he took me over to the reserves. And he bought me the Admiral kit, like the old, with the blue stripes on the shirt, on the sleeves with the Admiral thing on it. And
yeah,
I fell in love with it. And I kept begging him to take me to Tottenham. And I remember it was like Boxing Day. I think it was about 79, 80. And I said to him, like, I woke up and he said, I'll take you down to Spurs today because I was playing Southampton. It was a Boxing Day match. And we got down there and it was all ticket. And I was like really upset because couldn't get in. And then one of the turnstile operators said, give us a tenner and I'll get you in. Back then, like, tenner was a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? Considering it was about £1 to get in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll never forget it because I got in over, I climbed over the turnstile because I was a bit agile then. And then my old man was a bit of a lump and he got fucking stuck in the turnstile, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? So that was a bit of a, that was like my earliest memory. And it was like, I think it was like 4-4 half time. The proper, like, back then when I was always on the piss, the players, obviously. Do you know what I mean? I didn't look after themselves. Yeah, it was like 4-4 half time and it finished at 4-4. So that was the first sort of game I ever went to, yeah.
Did the old man get in for that game in the end or not? Or did you go in on your own?
Eventually he got in, yeah, when he got out, when he managed to get out of the turnstile. So
so I feel like every time I speak to someone, they always say they went to Orient first. Was it the fact that you couldn't get into the Tottenham game back then? Was it just
no,
too
no,
dear?
I don't know
or
what it was. I don't know if he support. He had a brother that lived down on Lee Bridge Road. So, like, we used to go down the lot. That was right near Leyton Orient Football Club. And we used to go just take me down there. So then he used to take me over to reserves, Spurs
Yeah.
reserves, and I used to watch the reserves. Back then they had like the football combination league, and then they had like a reserve. So people that were coming back to fitness, so you'd always see like Oddle or someone like that playing. Do you know what I mean? He got down there to see the reserves. You always see someone like a top player down there. Do you know what I mean? So I just
So,
progressed
how
from
old
there.
was you then, Russ, for that first game?
Must have been about eight.
Hey, is that, and that's when it all started for you?
That's when it all started. And I used to go down there with my couple of uncles and cousins that lived down Bruce Grove. I used to start going with them, stood on the shelf, right, basically where my seat is now, obviously in the old stadium. It was just above that sort of thing, like the, just before you got to the cage, you used to have the cage right on the corner. We used to stand on the corner on the shelf there, yeah. So
That's quite fitting though, really, because you're sort of sitting around, obviously not in exactly the same part, the same style of ground, but you're on that side as well.
yeah, right on the east corner, yeah, like, right, yeah, so, yeah, best days then, do you know what I mean, like the standing, like on the shelf where, when they scored, everyone used to push forward and, don't know, it must have been a bit of a, like a bit of pain, because they used to get squashed against the barriers, used to love it, do you know what I mean, it was brilliant, do you know
Yeah,
what I mean?
I bet the geezer sitting next to you now. Oh, glad that ain't happening now.
I got a couple of old birds around me, do you know what I mean, so, yeah. Luckily, they're skinny, so
So
I have
yeah.
like a seat and a half.
So yeah, just what you mentioned there, Russ, about obviously going down with all your uncles and what, and sort of that's, I've sort of found over time it's hard to make time for people, like, sort of going out and seeing everyone. Everyone's doing busy things. So when you do get to meet up or go with family, it's quite special. And obviously, what you're saying there is being a youngster and then started to go with your uncles. I guess you get to spend more time with different members of your family where you wouldn't have time in the week and all that. And
Exactly, yeah.
what we're saying is that's what sort of it's what's great about supporting Spurs is not only it's the friends and family you make, but it's the time you get to spend with people that you don't or won't have time to spend with in the week. Like obviously, like someone like me and you. You're working, I'm working, and then the only time we do see each other is down at Tottenham, and it's like we can have months apart from seeing each other, but when you do see each other, it's like you ain't been away from each other, and I think that's what's important about the camaraderie down at Spurs,
Exactly, 100%, mate, yeah. That's why I say don't get too involved in it because the football's always a letdown, isn't it? But that's probably the best part of it now is like meeting everyone, going for a beer and having a chat, having a laugh. Do you know what I mean? It's that's the best part of the day now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because you can't rely on the football to make you happy and give you a laugh, can you? So.
Right. So once the old man stopped sort of taking you down there, or you started having that little niggle of going out and you're going down on your own, when did you start sort of going down and obviously meeting my old man and getting up to no good in sort of your teens? What sort of age was that when you started going down on your
Well,
own and having a beer?
the first I used to go. I used to work in this factory in Waltham Cross, and I started going with this guy called Chris, and he used to go away games with him and all that. And then we went to Luton. Tottenham fans, they banned all away fans, and they banned all away fans. So we went up to Luton. I got in, and he never. And he waited for me after the game, and then we went back to the train station. Went in the train station and. met a group of geezers, and one of them included like Chinna, like, who everybody knows. Do you know what I mean? So that's how I met
Legend
Chinna. Exchanged numbers. There was no mobile phones back in them days. Exchanged numbers and started going with that lot. Do you know what I mean? Chinna, and he had a little like a little firm that he went with. Do you know what I mean? So got to know all them and started going with them and that, and then. I don't know if I've told you before, went up to Derby one year and I got nicked during the game and I got, like, right at the beginning of starting to go away games, I got nicked. I didn't think nothing of it, but I had to go back to court with Derby magistrates. This was late 89, 90 time. And, yeah, so I went back to court, I had to go to Derby magistrates, called my dad, took me out there. And I got a year ban and a £200 fine. So then, back then, you didn't have all that. You can't go out of Tottenham because you could still get frequent the pubs and all that, but you just couldn't go into the games and all that. So, yeah, done me ban. And then I went back. So that's when I remember Mark Singh and little Weeble. He's sadly passed away now. And and then I thought, I recognise this geezer. I was standing outside of Milford one day. It was your old man. You lived in the flats above the Park Lane shops, didn't you?
Love the shops, yeah, next door to Milford, yeah.
So I got talking to him and that, and I said, like, come, yeah, this is where we drink, and started, like, knocking about with the old man again. He started, then we used to go on the minibus, Tiny's Tours, like, with Chinna and all that lot, and your dad used to come on that with us. And we, I think, like, early 90s, We used to go everywhere. Do you know what I mean? All the games and that. So
yeah,
that's how I got back meeting the old man again. And then it was just a regular thing. Through Chinna, we used to go down and Singy, because they used to live like Redbridge, Ilford Way. We used to go out drinking regularly on a Saturday night with Pugsy, the late Pugsy, Tomo, another member of the firm back in the day. He's dead now as well. Bloody hell, they're all dying, aren't they? We used to like go out on the piss, like down like Faces before it was famous, Valentine's, Ilford, place called Stopouts in Ilford. We used to all go out on the piss, and basically like they used to do like coaches to places. Do you know what I mean? I remember going Burnley away on their coaches, Ipswich in the cup. I called like mate Jason Taylor, man. You know Jason, didn't you?
Yeah, I always remember. I always remember when you lot used to go Ipswich away, because I would always be put in a car with you lot.
Yeah,
and you always drive past Colchester to drop me off.
Kick you out.
Stop me, dad, kick me out of my dad's brothers, so you could go Ipswich, have the night out in Ipswich, and then come and pick me back up the next day. But my little memories of being with you lot in a packed car. Fucking beers flying about, smoking in the car, and I'm just this little kid sat in the middle, and I'm thinking like this looks fucking mental. and then to be known in the next sort of 10-15 years, like later after that, I'm probably doing the same. So it's you know. But I do want to quickly go back, Russ, to the Milford. It's a pub that I never got to go in, even though I live next door to it. I might have gone in there. My dad might have dragged me in there when I was young, but I don't remember it. But I hear so many stories about that pub, and it's. Every person I speak to who drank in there just said it was one of the best pubs going for everything. And I want to know as well as people that listen to this that who are about my age that missed out on the Milford. How good was the Milford, and what sort of bods did it have in there, and what was it like?
Yeah, Milford was the top place. Yeah, everyone used to drink in there because it was out of the way. Do you know what I mean? It went on the road. People come down there, and I suppose back in the day, a lot of away fans would go down that road. To get to the stations. The coach park used to be past Northumberland Park Station, didn't it, and all that.
Mm.
So they used to bring down the away fans. So
people used to that's why you drunk in there.
One of the reasons, yeah. But people, do you know what I mean? Faces that didn't drink in, they used to come in there to get away fans, probably, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah, but then
was it a big pub in there?
No, not really, mate. It was like not really, but you got to know the geezer Dennis back in the early 90s. Dennis Mannion owned it. Then he owned all the pubs on the Broad Lane and all that, like Mannions and all that. Do you know what I mean? So
they're still there, isn't it, Mannions?
Yeah, I think it's falling down, isn't it, still? But yeah, I used to get, like, we got on well with him, and he used to let us use upstairs and all that. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
But then back in the early 2000s, don't know if it was called something else. We started drinking in there again. Do you know what I mean? But it wasn't as good then. It was like
so when did it go?
About 2004 or something like that, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, it was still. See, I mean, I was knocking about around 2000, like sort of 1-2. That's when I first started sniffing out, and I never went in there. I didn't even know it was open.
It might be earlier than 2004. Do you know what I mean? I know that I moved around there. I moved right next door, didn't I? When I met Auntie Marie, and it was shut then, so it might have been a bit earlier than that. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Getting old, mate. Getting old. Can't remember that far back now.
So yeah, sort of around them Gazza times and all that. You was like them sort of late 80s, early 90s is when you sort of started was on the scene quite strong and all that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, it was to go on a minibus. The guy used to run it from the Milford. I don't know if you remember him, Tiny. Obviously, he was 6'7" or whatever. That's what, do you know what I mean.
Oh, was it? He might have been a tiny geezer.
No, he was like 6'7". They used to call him Tiny. He was like, and they had a minibus, and he used to go on there with Chino, and your dad used to come on there. Black Brian, remember Brian?
Yeah.
He's dead. Fucking hell, they're all gone, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone you brought up fucking popped off.
I don't know. Man. I have to wait up in the morning to check my heartbeat, see if that's still going, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
So what was your favourite time? Obviously the FA Cup final. I don't know. Was you there, Russ, for the final?
Yeah, I went to the final. Yeah, Scott got me. Do you remember Scott? Scott. Got me a Tomalo. He got me a ticket. He played for a football team, and he got a ticket through the club. And I think back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, all like FA affiliated clubs got 2 tickets.
Oh, right.
And he got me a ticket, Packer ticket, right on the halfway line. Do you know what I mean? So he got me a ticket for the 91 Cup final, yeah.
Yeah. So sounds like that 90s, that sort of decade of the 90s was well, do you know what I mean? I was obviously small and sort of being dragged out by my dad the odd game. But I remember distinctive memories, because when I think about my childhood, Russ, and I think of big Spurs fans and characters and people in the pub, you're always one of the first I think of, because obviously I was so tiny and you were so big, and it was like you was like a fucking giant to me, and I was sort of in awe of your presence. And it's true, I am. But you know, you were just one of them characters, and the British Queen I always like to bring up, because that was the first sort of pub I remember going in and seeing characters like you, Singy, Danielle, Michelle, the twins, Ryan, and everything else. And they're some of the memories. And obviously, with Dad being there, they become even more cherished memories. But they were just great times. And obviously, the 90s era was when I first started like dipping my toe in it and just sort of seeing, having a look around the pubs and thinking, well, I'll be doing that in about 10, 15 years. And obviously, I was. But if it weren't for people like you watching you and the way you went on and having that camaraderie with your mates, like you're talking about minibuses away and stuff like that, I don't think people like me would do it. And then I don't introduce people like maybe like Teach, who I met before, to then come and do it with me. And then he goes and tells, you know, and it all becomes such a big thing. And then it just becomes, that's what you do. That's
exactly, part of it. Yeah.
The football matches is happening when it's in there, but it's all about what you do before, after, and everything else around it. So, like, you know, I want to say thank you for sort of being around us at that time and sort of showing us the way. And obviously, the 90s, Russ, what were your best memories of the 90s? Obviously, apart from winning the Cup, what was it like supporting Spurs in the 90s? I know the football was shit, but what was it like, you know, sort of just being around that sort of 90s era following Spurs?
Well, as you say, yeah, it's not all about the football, is it? Do you know what I mean? Because, I mean, after that sort of time in the 90s, it got worse, didn't it? I mean, like, we flirted with relegation. But some of the best times I had was, like, when we was going through relegation, going out to Oldham, like, on a Thursday night. I mean, the game was rearranged because of the rain and all that. Do you know what I mean? It got waterlogged pitch, and going out to Oldham and getting a 2-0 result up there, do you know what I mean? And the euphoria of avoiding relegation. It sounds really weird, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, going to Feyenoord in, I think it was 93, with the old man, do you know what I mean? That was a great away trip for us.
Yeah, listen, I was going to bring this up. I do... because we was going to get you on at one point when we was in Europe, and I had an episode planned to bring you on to talk about away trips in Europe, but we fucking went out that round, so we never got to do it. It was when we had Mourinho, I was going to get it done then. But yeah, people, if you don't know, we won the cup, obviously, 91, and then we went over and had finaled in the UEFA Cup the year after. And it weren't just a normal away trip, was it, Russ? It was, how mental was it over there? Because I remember my dad doing a flag and going over there. And
yeah.
If I would have known then what he was going out there into, I might have said to him, about fucking stay at home, Dad. But he obviously went with you. Like, there's great photos online, which I'll post. What was it like finaled away, 93?
I mean, I had a phobia about being sick. Do you know what I mean? I was terrified because going on a boat and I didn't want to be sick. I used to have a phobia back then. I didn't personally drink, but everyone was getting pissed on the boat and everything. But unfortunately, we went on a coach and I don't know where it was, just outside of Belgium, just before going into the island. We got stopped on the motorway by the police and we got all tubbed up and got given a police escort into Ireland. So we was literally...
What, just your coach?
No, there was a few coaches. There was quite a few coaches. But we got put on a coat. We got put in an escort, and then we got put in the ground, like proper early. But like I thought, I was so hungry. I thought I got to have something to eat. Fuck being sick. I got to eat. Do you know what I mean? So I got this burger, and I was sitting there, and then there was streams of water coming down. And I thought, beautiful blue sky. Why is all this water coming down? So I've looked up. And there's about 100 Dutch standing there with their cocks out, pissing on us. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just things like that. Do you know? It's but same again. Do you know what I mean? Afterwards, like, we just put on the coaches about 2 hours after the game. So we didn't really see a lot, but I could see it like where there was a standing bit next to where we were sitting, and it was all going off in there. And I've heard stories all going off in Amsterdam. Do you know what I mean? So.
Were they trying to get at you in the ground?
After the game, mate, during the game, it was so early. You didn't see no one, do you know? Like, before the game, I mean, it was so early, you didn't really see no one. But yeah, after the game, they was all trying to get at us, do you know what I mean? But I think people that just went on their own accord and they went through Amsterdam had a rough time over there, do you know what I mean? So...
Yeah, what's one of your maddest away trips, or like, you know, any stories like one of your where it's all come on top, or you know, you sort of gone into the world of unknown and
well,
and sorts
of... we went to got invited onto a coach run by a well known member who wrote a book. He invited us onto a coach and going to Burnley, and that was mental. It was just like. We got back to the service station. Someone took the handbrake off the coach and it went hurtling towards a police car, and then the handbrake was put back on just in time. The driver refused to take us, so we had to take us back any further, so we had to wait for a replacement driver. Dropped us off in Edmonton. I went with Clarkey on this one. Dropped us back off Edmonton, and they weren't a seat on that coach in place. All the seats were at the back of the coach. You know what I mean? And then another time we went to Sheffield United in the Cup, beat them 2-0. Coming back on the coach, on a minibus, we encountered Leeds at a service station. They'd been playing in London. And it all kicked off at this service station. And there's this corridor and everyone was just throwing like plates and knives and forks. And the Leeds supporters... I think Chinna got nicked that day, do you know what I mean? He got nicked, so he had to go back to Sheffield a few times, do you know what I mean? So, there's been too many I mentioned in there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we were a bit tasty back then as well, weren't we? Yeah, we had some, like mentioning Chinna.
During the 90s, do you know what I mean? But then I say, like, as you know, we had a rare at Chelsea. There's nothing to do with me that I weren't there, do you know what I mean? A lot of Spurs bods got banged up, then they got like a few years each, do you know what I mean? They had their doors put in and got nicked, do you know what I mean? So it sort of like died down a bit after that, and then early 2000s it all reared up again, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like talking about that.
That was when I first started, like, you know, sort of having a nose out. It was when I always mentioned the Bank as a pub that, you know, when I was sort of like first dipping my toe in the water and meeting people like you. Well, not you, but Brendan around you and everyone else. And then it became a thing for me. I was around about 16, 17 then. And then I was even more into it of just seeing how everybody acted in pubs. And like that pub used to hold a few fucking names in there and boys.
Yeah, Bank was brilliant, wasn't it? I used to love the Bank. That was my local because I lived across just across the road from it at the time. And down over Northumberland Park, yeah, Bank. All Phil's pubs that he sort of like ran or owned were good. Like old Shaughnessy used to be the old White Hall Tavern. That was brilliant in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember that. It was a good boozer, that. Yeah, that's the Brown Eagle now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Brown Eagle now, yeah.
Yeah, good time.
Bank was brilliant. Yeah, I had some great memories of the Bank. As I say, even, like, as you well know, going in there during when Spurs weren't playing used to be a laugh in itself, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? So
England-Turkey was fun in there that time.
Yeah, England-Turkey, yeah. Brilliant game that was.
Do you know I started that? Well, I didn't start it, but I remember walking out. It's a story. England were playing Turkey. I don't know if you remember, people that are listening, when Beckham scored the penalty. I think you were looking around 2003 or 4-ish or something like that, weren't you? And obviously Tottenham's quite Turkish-based. So all I did was walk out the Bank and just to go and get some money at the cash point, you know, next to the coach and horses. And I come back. And as I'm walking back, I've obviously got an English shirt on. And this Turkish geezer's pulled up in the car next to me. And he's fucking got this like knife on a chain. So he's fucking saying thanks to me like this. And all I said to him was, go fuck yourself. And the next minute, he's gone to get out of the car. There's about four of them have gone to get out of the car. Then I've run into the Bank. Everyone's just sort of chilling, waiting for the game. And I've shouted, fucking these Turkish are fucking trying to have me outside. And the next minute, Tej Matt, no word of a lie, in 20 minutes, the whole pub was out in the high street. The whole of fucking the Turkish community in Tottenham were fucking out. Old Bill were there. Glasses, bottles, fucking police vans. It all got cordoned off at White Lane. Russ got fucking hit by a truncheon. I remember your arm being busted open, Russ. Do you remember?
Yeah, then I went to the hospital and I was with Louis King and there was a couple of Turks coming around the corner by where Pizza is and all that. And next thing I know, I don't even know what happened. The next thing I know, if you remember, I was skating along the road on my face and I literally... Yeah. If it weren't for the railing in the road, I would have probably gone in the road. Do you know what I mean? But like, proper, that was the old Bill. The old Bill just come from nowhere and done me round the back of the legs with the truncheons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it all happened so quick, didn't it? Within like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, all that happened. It's fucking crazy. But obviously, like, really, people that are listening, like, you know, some of these stories might not sound great, but I'm telling you what, to be a part of them sometimes it makes you sort of who you are. As you get older, and obviously when you have your own kids, you sort of make them a bit street aware and stuff like that of going down at the football. So I'm kind of glad that I've sort of lived through some of that and been a part of some of that, because it does set you right a bit more as an adult when you sort of come out of it, Russ. You know, as you get older, you sort of slip out of it and you sort of go down there a bit more just for the drink and stuff like that. So I do want to talk to you quickly about the old White Lane. Obviously, I put a post out the other day on Instagram about, you know, would you take the old ground back tomorrow if you could? Obviously, you'd have more memories in there than me. How much do you miss the old ground, Russ? And is the new ground better for you in terms of going forward as a club?
The old ground's better for me now because for sitting down, because I can sit down. Do you know what I mean? I don't like standing up. But that's, you know what I mean? That's because I'm a bit getting old now. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'll take the old ground back any day. The old ground in its form of the shelf side and all that, do you know what I mean? For White Hart Lane, when it was all seated before it closed down, it was a great atmosphere. But the shelf, I mean, like, it was just brilliant, do you know what I mean? Like, the atmosphere, and I mean, I think it was one of the biggest stands in England because it went along the side of the pitch. You got your Kop and your North Bank and all that, and your Stratford Ends, but that was all behind the goal, weren't they? Like, but the shelf was the entire length of the pitch. Do you know what I mean? So I used to love the shelf. Do you know, as I say, like, with the crowds going forward and getting squashed against the bars and all that, do you know what I mean? The smell of cigars, people walking through selling roasted peanuts, do you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah.
It's finished now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Let's be honest. It's like, it's... Because those are still peanuts down at Newground, it'd probably be like 10 or a pop, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It would. What was your, what if you had to pick one game, Russ, in the old ground, what one sticks out for you? What one? did you enjoy the most or remember distinctively? Would it be your first or one as you got older?
Nah, the 84 UEFA Cup final, that was brilliant. I queued up. I used to go to Northumberland Park School, just like literally on Worcester Avenue. And we come out there and we queued up. We come out of school at 3 o'clock and queued up outside down Paxton Road because I was a member then. So you didn't have to, you just like, you obviously had to pay, but that just held enough people for members, do you know what I mean? So you didn't need, they weren't ticket.
So straight out of school, straight into the ground?
Well, queuing up, we queued up for a little while and I think they let us, they opened the doors about 6 o'clock, do you know what I mean? Let us in and it was just brilliant, do you know what I mean? And yeah.
What was that night like, bro?
Oh, it was fantastic, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Partying down, like, down the high road and they, like, all the players brought the trophy out to the front of the stadium, do you know what I mean? Like the old offices where, I don't know if you remember it, where the Cockle used to be, you know, like opposite, like Rudolph's, do you know what I mean? Like, not opposite like, where the church is, but that old building that was there that had like the windows and that, they brought the cup out down there, showing it off.
Yeah.
I think the next one would be when we beat Chelsea 5-1 to get to the final of the whatever cup it was then, whatever it was called then, do you know what I mean? I think it was a Worthing Cup then, wasn't it?
Yeah, not a game that we don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great game, do you know what I mean? And yeah, probably like there's many, but
they might stick out for you.
Remember beating Arsenal 5-0 down there, do you know what I mean? Like a league game.
Russ, quick one for me, mate. What's different now about Spurs for you? Like when you go down Spurs now. What's different to how it used to be? Like, how does your day look down Spurs nowadays? Like, what would you get up to down there now?
Nothing, mate. It's just literally go down there, you have a beer, didn't you? Do you know what I mean? It's like, have a beer, meet up with the boys, have a beer, have a laugh in the chat. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, it's so different now, isn't it? It's all like, it's not based for us sort of people no more, is it? It's all based, like, I think it's based for money people now, do you know what I mean? It's like it's changed so much. You're getting priced out of it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like people.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially now the way it is with the economy and the money and the living wage and all that. Do you know what I mean? It's just can't afford to go no more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you were talking about trophies just then, Russ, the 84, obviously it's been a long time since we've won a couple since then, but we haven't been as good as we was back then in terms, especially the 80s, in terms of winning trophies. Just to finish off with you, Russ, with the team now and obviously the gaffer coming in this season, where do you see Spurs in the next sort of 2 or 3 years? Do you think it's a direct, are we going in the right direction with him and the way we want to play with the right sort of players we've got at the moment? Where do you see any glory for us in the next sort of like 2 to 3 years or even 5 years at that?
Me personally, I think different to a lot of people. I see it in, I don't think, because people have figured out the way we play already, I believe. Do you know what I mean? Like, he ain't got no plan B. It's an improvement on Mourinho and Conte football-wise. Do you know what I mean? Like, attacking football-wise. But I just think there's no
plan B. Is that not what you grew up on, though, Russ? You grew up on that sort of attacking flair and stuff like that. Could we defend a bit better back then?
Tottenham could never defend. I've never known Tottenham to have a defence apart from Toby and Alderweireld. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's the best. But they've never had a defence. But yeah, it was attacking football, yeah. But I mean, I don't know what it was then. I don't know if it was easier to win trophies then. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think we've only won 6 since I've been supporting Spurs. Do you know what I mean? 3 of them was within 3 years in the 80s, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? But I don't know.
Football can change quick, can't it? You know, I understand.
Yeah,
what you're
saying. That's what I'm saying. But you're never going to get him spent. I mean, I'm not like a lot of people. I mean, I ain't got a problem with Daniel Levy, but what people like don't got to understand, he's a businessman, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's there. He's there to make money. He ain't a Spurs, well, I suppose he says he's a Spurs fan, but his priority down there is to make dough, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So he's only got a certain amount of money he's going to spend. I mean, we come mighty close under Poch, didn't we, like, to winning it a couple of years on a trot. But I don't think that'll happen again. Do you know what I mean? Unless he sells to he's looking for investors now, and so I believe if that happens, he'll get someone wealthy. But but then you don't want to be in the position of what they're just deducting points willy nilly now, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be in the position of Everton or Forest where you have a good old spend up and they.
I think that's the argument with Levy. You know, we moan that we don't spend, but then we're also quite secure as a club in terms of going under and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But as you say, he's a business man. He just wants to make money, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think how much money he can make is a success for him. It's not a case of us winning trophies for him. It's a case of how much money he makes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the way you got to look at it, isn't it? Because he's a businessman at the end of the day. So, but under Ange Postecoglou, I don't think it's all right doing it in the Scottish leagues and all that. Do you know what I mean? But when it comes to England, I just think we're so predictable the way we play. I don't know if anyone agrees with me. Do you know what I mean? Like, all our goals seem to come from the same, like whipping balls in. Like we, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Russ, he's definitely, I think the way he wants to do it, I think every good manager at a good level has a plan B. Sometimes it depends on what your depth is as a squad and what sort of players you've got. We're not blessed like Man City, who have got top players to bring in for top players. So I think, me personally, I think he's got to be judged a bit more when he's got a better squad.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But yeah, like, I know what you're saying. Obviously, talking about having holes at the back, obviously you've got Arsenal coming up Sunday. Are you there Sunday, Russ?
Yeah, I'll be there Sunday. Yeah,
we'll sort out and meet up and have a beer. Just before you go, Russ, what's a quick prediction for you Sunday? And be honest.
I honestly think I just think it's written in the stars that we beat them for once. Do you know what I mean? Like whether it messes them up for the title challenge, but I think we'll beat 2-1. They'll definitely score. Do you know what I mean? We'll get two quick goals as we always do, and then they'll get one back and make it a bit airy for us.
We'll beat them.
Russ, one thing. Give us a throwback. Your best goal Spurs have scored against Arsenal.
It's a toss-up.
Danny Rose has got to be up there.
Danny Rose and Gazza in the semi-final.
Yeah, they're two of the best, surely.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know.
Harry Kane's got
to be up. For the occasion, it's got to be Gazza, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, lovely. Listen, Russ, we'll message you in the week, mate, and we'll have a beer Sunday, and we'll listen back this in the week, and we'll have a laugh about it on the Sunday. But I'll let you get a bed, mate, because I know you've got work in the morning. But listen, cheers for coming on, mate. I know.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No, it's lovely, mate. You're a legend, mate. So I just wanted to.
Congratulations, TJ, on the babies. I haven't seen it to congratulate you, but congratulations.
Thank you very much, mate. I'll be there Sunday, so we'll have a drink together. Thanks for saying, mate.
You've got to buy him three beers. Yeah, that's what I'm
trying to
tell
you. I've got enough
money. All right then, boys. Thanks a lot, yeah?
Yeah, cheers, Russ.
Cheers, Russ. See you later, mate. Oh, no!